Hey guys, welcome to episode 10 of Truth for Today with Terry Fant. I want to tell you, I'm so thankful that you're here with me today. I want to apologize for not posting many episodes lately. I've just been a little busy, but I am excited today to get back into this topic that we've been looking at called the generosity of God. Now, as we experience this journey together, my invitation is to the believer and to the unbeliever alike. And I hope as maybe you've stumbled upon these podcasts, someone maybe recommended it to you, or whatever it was that God used to put you in its path or it in your path. My hope is that for the believer, it's an encouragement. It's a helping in understanding the Christian life and the fact that it's not a one-time thing, a one-prayer deal, but instead, when we surrender by faith to Jesus Christ, the person, He is the Son of God, the work, that He died on the cross for the penalty and wages of all of our sin, and that He rose from the grave, and surrendering and inviting Him to be Lord, that is not the only end all. That's not the totality of the Christian life. That is how a person comes into relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. But that begins a journey of getting to know Him better and becoming more like Him. And so that's what the intent of this podcast is, to help you understand that. But for the unbeliever, for you to investigate the truths of God, maybe to give just a little of your time and listen to some of the Word of God and its explanation, and see what God might do in your heart and mind. So thank you all for joining us. As we continue on this generosity theme, one of the greatest stumbling blocks of the human experience is that we feel like we deserve sometimes maybe more than we have. We look at our lives, or especially with social media, we look at the lives of other people, or more clearly put, we look at the lives of other people as displayed in what they post on social media, and we become envious. We become a little dissatisfied with our lives. We become a little wanton. In other words, we want what other people have and what they're experiencing. Truth is, we only see what they're willing to post. People post things like the married couple on the beach, but they don't post on the great fight they had the night before. They'll post when they get on the elliptical and maybe the treadmill and they've run 3 miles. But they don't post when they've overeaten 3 or 4 donuts, 5 donuts for breakfast and missed the gym. And so we have a tendency to find ourselves in wanting. And the purpose of this series on the generosity of God is to help us think through and process some of the benefits that God has given us that maybe we've forgotten or that we never understood to be a benefit in the first place. So we looked at last episode, the generosity of God in giving us the law and giving us the prophets to express His will and warnings, that He gave us His Son. He really is so generous. But then today we're going to look at the fact that God was so generous to give us His Spirit. Now the Word of God declares that after having believed in the book of Colossians, you received the Holy Spirit. Jesus made reference in John 16 that it was to the disciples' advantage that He would go away, that He would then send the Helper to them. Now their hearts were grieving, and they had seen Jesus and walked with Jesus, and they really couldn't process the idea that Him leaving was better for them. But His purpose in death and resurrection was that He might send His Spirit to live in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Today we're going to talk about what it is that the Holy Spirit of God does, and I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is not a thing. As a matter of fact, we find out in the Scripture, in John 14, 26, that the Holy Spirit has thoughts. We find out that in Ephesians 4, 30, that the Spirit of God has emotions. In 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 13, we find out that the Holy Spirit has rationality. In Acts 8, 29, and again in 13, 2, we find out that the Holy Spirit has a will. In other words, a desire. 1 John 2 and 27, we find the Holy Spirit has the ability to relate. And so if you have time, you go back and look up those scriptures, you'll find that the Holy Spirit should never be referred to as an it, but instead, He. Today in the Christian life, I want you to consider how oftentimes in the journey, we hear a sermon or we read a scripture and we begin to believe that what we hear there that is supposed to be a part of the Christian life, we need to try harder to make it happen. So we give these lists in our mind of what we should not do, what we need to stop doing, and what we should do. And we really focus on behavior modification. What ends up happening is We find out what Paul explains in Galatians, that the law will kill us. If we try to live by the law, it'll kill us because it has no power to free us or to produce in our life. Some of us look like what I'm going to call the Christmas lemon tree. Now, let me explain. If today I was to gather up a tree that was artificial, sort of like a Christmas tree, and on that Christmas tree I was to go out and find some very realistic lemons, and I was to hang those lemons in such a way that from a distance it looked to you like this was a lemon tree. And maybe I would say to you, look at this lemon tree, because a lemon tree is supposed to have lemons on it. I would say to you, what you should not do is try to take one of those lemons and slice it and add it to your water or to your tea, because it is artificial. It's not a lemon at all. What I mean is, the tree is not an authentic tree, and the fruit that it's supposed to produce is not authentic. Instead, it's what I'm going to call ornamentation. Now, many of us hear things in the Bible or hear messages, and all we hear is, try harder to do this. And it's just like taking that tree and trying to make it into a lemon tree. We try to hang on our lives the good things that are supposed to be produced in the Christian life, sort of like ornaments. But this is not the way in which God intended. It's, matter of fact, it's not the authentic Christian life. Instead, it is the generosity of God that has provided for you and me the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit within us who then produces the fruit of the Christian life in us, or should I say through us. In fact, it's not about behavior modification or ornamentation or trying hard to make our lives look Christian. Instead, it is following Jesus by the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of Jesus in us. Those fruits are found in Galatians chapter 5, where Paul is talking about what it looks like when we're led by the Holy Spirit, God's generous gift. In verse 22 of chapter 5, Paul says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Really, if you ponder those great fruits, you'll come to the conclusion that that really is the nature or the life of Jesus Christ. That's who He is. That's what we find when we examine the life of Christ as portrayed for us in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So we think about these divine nature of Jesus, we understand that we can become more like Him, but it won't be by trying harder to produce those natures of Jesus or the fruits of the Spirit in our own lives. Instead, on the contrary, it's going to take a life relying on God's generous gift of the Holy Spirit to produce those in us. It's imagine, if you will, a home that had all the furnishings and all of the necessary equipment for life, washing machines and dryers and fans and the sort, but then the home not having any kind of electrical power connected to the power lines. Well, you'd have all the potential in the world of a home, but without the power source, you'd have no benefits. The same is true for the Christian life. We can't manufacture and produce the life of Christ in us unless we're plugged into the power source of God's Holy Spirit. Today, as we think about the Holy Spirit, I'll talk a little bit about what is His responsibility in our lives. One thing I want you to consider is found in John 16 in verse number 8. And it says this, Jesus, "And when He has come," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." I want you to consider for a moment about what this means, conviction. It means that the Holy Spirit will bring negative feelings in association with, or true feelings in association with, sin and righteousness and judgment. So as we consider those things, sin, we're not able to be convicted about that unless the Holy Spirit helps us to see that what we're doing is missing the mark. Remember, the word for sin in the New Testament is the word hamartia, and it's an archer's term that means to miss the mark. Sin is not just the gross bad things that we think we've done, but it's everything we've done that misses the mark of God's perfection. So it's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction in our hearts there. It is the Holy Spirit that brings conviction of righteousness to show us what really is right. Because if we're left to ourselves, we think we get to determine what's right, and oh, what a mess we make when we leave life and righteousness or rightness left up to me and you, man without God. Then he says of judgment, because, well, we really feel like we'll never be judged. Truth of the matter, we have this phrase that we like to say in our culture today, don't judge me. which translates this way, "Let me sin in peace." But friend, make no mistake, the Holy Spirit helps us to know that there is a judgment day coming and that we don't have to face the wrath of God in judgment. We can face the reward of God in judgment because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. And it's the Holy Spirit who reveals this to us. Next, the Holy Spirit guides us with truth. Listen to John 16, 12 through 13. "I still have many things that I want to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Now, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. He said, "You cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." Wow. Jesus talking to a group of guys who saw him heal, who saw him cast out demons and walk on water. And he's saying to them, "I've got some things that I need to tell you, that I want to tell you, many things, but I can't right now because you don't have the capacity to understand or apply them until you have the Holy Spirit." My goodness, the Holy Spirit guides us to truth. He does so by enlightening our minds. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, he said, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Now, many people have misinterpreted that verse and applied it to heaven, which is so silly, because what he says next is the key to interpretation. He says, "But God has revealed them to us." What's he revealed to us? Those things that the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard. The things that have not even entered into the heart of man. The Holy Spirit has revealed those to us. That's not heaven, friend. That is wisdom of God in our hearts and minds by the Holy Spirit. Our eyes are able to see things the way he sees them. Our ears are able to hear his still small voice. And our hearts are able to imagine the impossible and love the unlovable. It is the Holy Spirit of God, whom he goes on to say, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Man, you talk about the Holy Spirit being the most wonderful gift in our Christian life, and it is the generosity of God that gave him to us. Imagine if God said, "Okay, you're saved, you're in the family, but now you got to go figure it out on your own." Oh, mercy. What a mess you and I would make and do make when we take times to do it on our own. Well, another ministry of the Holy Spirit is to teach us. So in John 14 and 26, Jesus says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father is going to send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." So you talk about generosity. God has given us his Spirit who helps us to understand and be taught, who gives us the humility to say, "I don't know everything and I need God's help to understand his ways." He also said to bring to our remembrance all things that I have said to you. And so there are times in my life I can be going about life and the Holy Spirit of God will remind me in the middle of the day what I met with God with about that morning. And there'll be some application for what it is that God showed me about himself and about me and my quiet time with him before the day began. Oh, I want you to think about being taught by the Holy Spirit of God, learning to be taught by the Spirit. And then another fourth thing I would talk about, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And today's lesson is not exhaustive. In other words, this is not all the Holy Spirit does, but I'm going to tell you the main things he does. He empowers us. Now, many times in our life, we allow ourselves to prop up on the excuse of our weakness. We say, "I can't do that." And then we try to rationalize and say, "Well, nobody does that." And so we discount the great truths of God and the encouragement of the Christian life because we've tried before and failed. Or we really don't know many people who are living them out. Well, here's what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. He says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Interestingly enough, Jesus said, "As I'm going to bestow on you power, supernatural power." No, it's interesting that it isn't to climb over buildings, leap over buildings in a single bound. It's interesting that it isn't that he said, "I'm going to give you power to walk on water." But what he said was, "I'm going to give you power that you might be my witnesses." I want you to ponder this great truth. The Holy Spirit empowers me and you to live the Christian life. What he says is that you are going to be witnesses. It's the purpose with which he left us here after we were saved. If he didn't have a purpose for us here once we were saved and our sins were forgiven, he'd have sucked us right on up into heaven and we'd have lived in eternal glory. But no, there's still mission to be lived. And by the way, Christian, we do not go on mission trips. We live the mission. Sometimes the assignment is here, sometimes the assignment is there, but our life is now a mission. And the generosity of God has provided the Holy Spirit to empower us to live that mission. So don't you dare think you can't do it. Don't you dare prop yourself up on the excuses that have limited your life up to now. It's time for you to start really relying on the Spirit of the living God to lift you up out of mediocrity and begin to witness for Jesus. Now, witnessing in two areas. One, in the lifestyle and how you live different in opposition to culture and in relationship to Jesus in His kingdom and His principles. So we're living different. And then not only are we talking about witnessing with our lifestyle, but then we're also coupling that witnessing with our mouths. It means that by the Holy Spirit's power, we're able to open our mouths and say to people that Jesus Christ died for them, that He rose from the dead, and He is the door by which they can enter into a relationship with Almighty God. That He can save them, that He can wipe their sins away as if they never committed them, that He can give them a purpose for living and peace and joy and patience and gentleness and long-suffering and faithfulness and self-control and kindness. He can do that for them. He can produce it in them. They don't have to try to hang the ornaments on the tree anymore. See, we're afraid to share that message because it's very singular. Matter of fact, it's very offensive to our flesh. Nobody wants to hear that there's only one way to be right with God. Man doesn't want anyone to be told what to believe or how to behave. But it is the Holy Spirit of God that gives me and you the power to live a life changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ and to open our mouths and to tell our husbands, our wives, our children, our parents, the people that live next door, our co-workers, that there's a way to know God and His name is Jesus. It's not a religion, it's a person, it's a Savior. And then they can look in our lives and say, definitely there's something different about us. We're not perfect, but we're also not the way we used to be. We've been transformed. We're not arrogant, but we are holy. We're striving to live a life set apart for Christ. So this Christian life is one that's very, very taxing. Matter of fact, I'd say it's one that's very impossible if you and I try to live it on our own strength. But why would we? God's been so generous to me and you, and we ought to just pause and think He's been so generous to give us all the things we look at in episode 9. And if you didn't catch that, go back and listen. But now we're talking about the generosity of God in the giving of His Holy Spirit. I want you to think today about how the Holy Spirit can radically change your life. He's the one who gives me and you the strength to live out the journey in a very, very different way. Be reminded, it has to come from the inside out. It's an inside job. It's the Holy Ghost in me that's producing the nature of Christ out of me. You see, part of this journey is to understand that the goal of the Christian life is the nature of Jesus being produced in me. Well, the hard part is understanding I can't do that. I can't try hard enough to do that. It has to be the Holy Spirit of God living in me, speaking to me, that is producing the nature of Christ in me that others might see it living out of me. So today as we conclude episode 10, you might be saying, well, how do I learn to be led by the Spirit? It begins at the first sweetest hour of the day, making the intent and the purpose being to meet with Jesus, to meet with Him in prayer, to meet with Him in His Word for a little bit of time before the day begins. And you'll find that as the day progresses, the Holy Spirit of God will use those avenues, prayer and the Word, to speak to your heart. If you've never given your life to Christ, then you don't have the Spirit of God, and so the things of God sound to you as foolishness. I mean, how foolish does it sound that the King would leave the throne and die for His subjects? Matter of fact, Jesus is the only King that ever did that. So today, I would implore you that if the Spirit is nudging your heart, if that's the reason that you're on this podcast, that whatever nation you find yourself in, if you would invite Jesus to come and be Lord of your life, if you would vacate the throne of your heart, and because of Jesus' death on the cross and His resurrection as a display of love for you, if you would invite Jesus on that throne, if you'd vacate it, invite Jesus on it, you will receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will begin a journey with you and a process of changing you little by little. It is such a wonderful journey. For today, I want to encourage you to rely on the generosity of God in the person of His Holy Spirit. If you're enjoying this podcast, this journey together in Truth for Today, I'd encourage you to subscribe to this and also leave a review if you would. Share it with your friends and leave a review. It causes that to go a little higher in the ratings, and people in other countries and places can see and grab a hold of this great truth that we're learning together. Also, reach out to me. My email address is terryfant@icloud.com. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life, or maybe even the questions that you may have about something that I've discussed. This past week, a man came up to me and introduced himself, and he said, "I want you to know that I've been coming for about 6 weeks now, and God is working miracles in my life." He said, "I want you to know the way that I came about coming here and worshiping here is I stumbled onto your podcast, and God used that to really begin to open my eyes to the Christian life, and He began working in my life, and now He's gathering with us. And I'm so excited to get to know Him better." So listen, reach out to me. I want to hear your stories. And my hope and prayer is that you are leaning into Him and praising Him for His generosity. Or if you don't know Him, you're beginning to listen and even, at least entertain the idea that there is a God and that He's generous and He loves you and He desires a relationship with you. So for today, have a great rest of your day wherever you find yourself. I hope you complete the task that you're doing right now if you're busy, or if you're at the gym or at your office or at the house, wherever you find yourself driving. And I hope that you'll join us for episode 11 soon. God bless you. See you next time on this journey as we're becoming more like Jesus together.